Hey, you guys, I hope you all are doing well. We have here Mr. Alex Fit, Fruit Fit Muscle. He's building muscles with fruit. Thank you, Alex, for coming on our channel. We appreciate you in this time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Vanessa, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, I like to always start out by asking, how was your eating habits growing up as a child?
Sure. So I'm from France originally. So I grew up with a pretty standard diet as I'd have there, which probably is a bit better than the US. I'd say probably more fresh produce, but still a lot of meat, a lot of cheese, and butter and the usual. So definitely not a vegan upbringing. Not raw vegan, some processed food for sure too. But and then when I grew up, I was in business school, and like most young men my age in that school, I partied, drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes. So let's say my upbringing was quite normal, which unfortunately is not super healthy in terms of foods especially.
So did you eat any fruits growing up?
Yes, that's the good thing. I think I had a variety of many things, there would be meat and rice and potatoes and fish and this kind of meals, and that's like a typical meal. And then I would snack on some processed snacks and candies. But I would also have usually cooked, right, but fresh vegetables in the house, fresh fruits that I could eat sometimes. And, you know, like in, let's say in a dinner, I would have maybe the chicken and rice, but I would also have a salad to start with and maybe a fruit salad to finish sometimes. So it was quite okay compared to probably some other people growing up.
Yeah, it sounds like you ate some good food as far as the fruits and vegetables and, you know, all the things that you ate. I know for me, we had some mangoes and plums and things like that during the summertime. So that was an exciting time for us. So, yeah, enjoyed that part. So how did you get on this journey of eating fruits? And are you a fruitarian, vegan, plant-based? And how did you get on that journey?
Okay, so in terms of label, I'm not sure exactly, because right now I eat 100% vegan, so I guess I could take that label, even though I don't do the whole like I have honey sometimes and I had a leather jacket when I was in Europe a few months ago, so you know, not perfect, but in terms of what I eat, it'd be like almost only vegan. Then probably 90%, probably a bit more even, raw vegan. And then around 80% fruits. And I count avocados, tomatoes, cucumbers that are actually fruit in that. So that's basically what I eat now. If you want to call me a fruitarian, a raw vegan, a vegan or not even, you know, it's fine.
Yes, I feel the same way. I'm the same way. So...
I didn't answer you on the transition, right? But that was just for where I'm at now. And about 6 years ago, I had a spiritual awakening. So I had my good life. I was living in Australia, Bondi Beach, and was already interested in entrepreneurship. But through getting deeper into podcasting, especially following Tim Ferriss or Aubrey Marcus, I got interested in meditation, I got interested in psychedelics, I got interested in health. And as I dived into that, I started reading more, doing more experiences. And when I read Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari, he talks about factory farming a bit in the book and how it would look weird if we just came on that planet. I watched What the Health at the same time. And so I was like, okay, that seems pretty ethical to go away from factory farming. I didn't go to cold turkey, but I probably went from towards like 80 to 90% vegan at the time, 5-6 years ago. And then I did more and more vegan. But 3 years ago, a typical meal would be more like, especially here in Bali, tempeh with potatoes and rice or beans. And 2.5 years ago, I had an iridology reading with a student of Dr. Morse. And yeah, he put me on a meal plan, encouraging me to eat more raw food. It made a lot of sense to me. And so I started doing that. I really felt really good on it. And yeah, since then I've been adding more and more and more fruits because it's pretty natural. Also here in Bali, we have beautiful fruits. So that's been the transition, pretty smooth, I would say, from a more standard diet to, I mean, on the way I tried three weeks of keto there, and I've tried a little bit, but generally going from the standard diet to more vegetarian, more vegan, more raw, more fruits.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So did you get inspired? Did somebody inspire you? I know you had a spiritual awakening. Like, did you see someone and like, oh wow, okay, I think this is the path? Or did you just hear, okay, it's time for you to change and get this spiritual, you know, awakening and walk in it? Like, how was that part? How did that transition happen?
Yeah, pretty smoothly. So I had I had some friends here in Bali that were doing more the more fruits and more raw vegan things and seemed to like it. But also 2 years ago, I started interviewing a lot of those people on my channel. I started with Josh X, and then I had Lorraine Lockman, Doug Graham, Ted Carr, Shane Sterling, a lot of these people. So to me, it was pretty gradual in the way that I combined what I've learned from, you know, reading a book like 80-10-10 and makes total sense to me. I combined that with just some intuition around like, okay, fruits are delicious. Seems like it's food for me. Eating raw makes sense. And some role models also, yeah, some around me here in Bali, but mainly online, like people had been following, and we could have like, I don't know, John Rose, Lou Corona, people where I thought, okay, well, they look very vibrant, they look good for the age if they're older, and I want to follow that. So combining my intellect, looking at other people and my own experience, I did that transition, but still pretty smoothly, I would say.
Cool. Yeah. So when it comes to building muscles, just a little tip, because I don't know if you do any coaching, because if you do any coaching, I do have your link down in the description. So you guys check him out after this interview or if you're watching the replay, and thank you. So like when it comes to building muscles, like how could a person begin? Just a little tip if you have any, to build muscles with eating fruits?
Yeah. I mean, look, building muscles eating fruit is not very different than building muscle in general. Just it's often a little bit challenging, especially at the beginning, because when we transition to more raw and more fruits, we can often experience a lot of detox symptoms and shedding. So there's also a timing for it. And I've done also, I've had times of detoxing where I was on a 2-week water fast, for example, 6 months ago. And at that time, I obviously lost a lot of muscle and needed to accept that. So, I mean, one tip would be to start to build on a more clean system. So mm-hmm. I think it's good to allow sometimes also to detox and focus less on it. And then once you feel ready to do it, and it can be very different for many people. Some people, they need to heal something deep. Some people, they can just transition pretty smoothly. And then it's, I'll have a few, but one is to be consistent, mm-hmm. obviously. The second one would be to have proper form. So we work the right muscle and we avoid injuries. And the third one would be to track. Like this, it's a bit gamified and we can see the gains, because we usually can see the gains in terms of the number of reps way before we see the gains on the muscle.
So lifting weights, is that how to get the gains? I mean, I'm just, for the people who don't know, you know, to help someone who don't even know how to begin. So they will have to do strength training. And does it have to be the dumbbells or, you know, the different machines? Like, how is that process? How does that
work? Yeah, sure. So I will start with also by saying, for me, what's the goal for myself and what I help other people doing with the coaching is, it's not to be like a huge bodybuilder on fruit. It is to have a physique that is attractive, naturally very functional and lean, right? Mm-hmm. I will say if someone's goal is just to be as bulky as possible, they would probably do better taking a bunch of drugs, including anabolic steroids and going for, and yeah, using that. But of course, there would be impacts in terms of health and longevity overall. So here it is in the context of wanting to be super healthy, high levels of energy, vibrant being for many, many years to come. In that context, I also want to be strong. I also want to look good. And yeah, there are a lot of people in the raw vegan fruitarian community, a lot of men especially, they'll get really weak. And, you know, it's fine. It's all on body image, but I know for me, it's not where I want it to be. So just putting that aside. And then, so what was your question on this? Sorry.
The process of gaining the weight, like, do they need to lift?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So the most effective in general is lifting weight, but there's a few, like, you can get really good with calisthenics. So I think it really depends a bit on like the variation in people's goals. Mm-hmm. So for example, personally at the moment, I'm looking at doing a little bit more bodybuilding. So to do that, I do weights and I do more, localized exercise like this. I can choose which muscle I'm working, and I do with dumbbell rather than barbell because I want to make sure it's balanced. So I went on a long fast, like 2 week water fast, and then I've been rebuilding. And I like the idea of having single dumbbells and mm-hmm. slow control movement like this. I really feel okay, what part of my body I'm working. Mm-hmm. Well, the compound exercises, like let's say barbell, bench press and squats, they're usually even better, but to build strength because you can add more weight. And of course, when you build strength like this, you also end up building muscle. And when you do the bodybuilding, I end up lifting more and more each time, but they can have a little bit different goals. So strength, you often go also less reps, while bodybuilding, you go more reps. So personally, when I do a training, I do, let's say if I do the same training like a week after my first rep, I'll try to beat what I did before. And mm-hmm. that then I feel I've gotten stronger. And then I do a second set, where I do the same number of reps, but maybe I need to take a break because I'm already tired. And that helps to build the volume also. And then calisthenics, really good to do anywhere, anytime, and it's very functional too. It's whole body. So if people want to prioritize something easy in nature, and often when we're on that diet, we like to connect with nature more. Calisthenics can feel really good for that. And I know people who look really good and are really strong on calisthenics. So depending on people's environment, people's experience, and people's goals, there can be a bit of variation between lifting single free weights like dumbbells, lifting barbells, and having more compound exercises, or using calisthenics.
Okay, and thanks for that. So how often do you suggest a person work out? 5-6 days, twice, you know, how often?
Yeah, So it's going to be a little bit different for, again, depending on the lifestyle and on the goals. Mm-hmm. But if you really focus just on this, it depends on the age also, how well you recover. How well you recover can depend also on if you're healing other things. But let's say in general, well, personally, I like to go about four times a week, to do about four times a week. And I have three types of exercise. I have the push, the pull, and the legs. And that allows me to have some flexibility also in my training, because if I do a push day, which is, so for example, I'll do bench press and I'll do things like overhead press, all these exercises, they work the pecs, the front delt, middle delt, they work the triceps. So if I do that and let's say go hard on Monday, and then on Tuesday, I'm like, oh, you know what? I have energy. I really feel like working out. I don't want to work out those muscles because they're sore, but I can do a leg day, for example. And then on Wednesday, if I'm really motivated, I want to go three in a row, I can. And I can do pull day. And then the day after, I could even do the push day, which is more the chest again, you know, because I've left 2 days, which usually I'm sore for about 2 days. So that's a way where, in theory, I could work out every day, but I can feel even when I do that, my body can get a bit tired, depends on other things also. So usually I end up doing four times a week, but cycling those different muscle groups. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if I want on T2, I've had weeks where I went six times using that. So that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And with this, I've especially tracking, I found that I could get really good gains. Now I have a client right now. She's a yoga teacher. She's doing already a lot of activity. She's not doing strength, but she's doing a lot of activities that like body pump that are still, definitely working out the muscles. So we came up with probably twice a week would be really good. And she's going to do full body twice a week because like this all the time, she'll have time to recover. Because if you do full body, then you can also go harder. Because, for example, when I do my push day, because all the same muscle groups, sometimes by the end of 45 minutes, which is usually how long I train, the muscles get a little bit tired. So if you do only twice a week, it's better to go full body. And then from zero to twice a week, already she'll get really good gains. But at the moment, we're really focusing on the form because that's the most important when you start.
Wow, that's good. So do you do video consultations? Like how do people connect? Like how do you do online consultations? What I'm trying to ask. Training.
Do you ask for people who want to get in touch or for people who are doing coaching with me?
Yes, the ones who would like to get in touch with you, like is it online only or how do you work with your, because you're in Bali?
Yeah, well, the easiest is to jump on a discovery call. So maybe you could put the link, but it's basically my website is frt.fit, frt.fit/discovery. So there you can book a discovery call with me. It's 15 minutes. We just have a conversation and see if I could support you. And then if I feel I could support you, I give you a free 1 hour strategy session where we go really deep into your why, your motivation. And it's coaching. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm really digging into what are your goals at the moment, why you want to do what you do, what are your obstacles, and how... like what you would need to do what you know is right for you on a consistent basis and with the in the proper way. Mm-hmm. And then, then it's like customized to the person. But I find that whether it's to make improvement on being consistent on the diet or on getting results at the gym or for your fitness in general, it's usually good around, usually I work on 12 weeks program. That's like a sweet spot of long enough to get the result and not too long that you stay motivated. And during those 12 weeks, anyway, the idea is to get the lifestyle going so then you can keep going without needing anyone, because it's just part of you.
Wow, okay. That's good. When building muscles, back to that, does a person eat like more fruit? You know, like not just eating two or three bananas, you know, a couple of dates and then go pump and they finish. Is there a certain amount of fruits that they eat? The quality, does that matter?
It does. And actually, even though the training in itself is not so different, the challenges can be different in the way that, especially when we're starting, when we eat a lot of fruits, we have to realize that it's a lot of water. And a lot of people struggle to eat enough. So one of the things I do with clients generally, especially if I feel they're not eating enough, but in general, I think it's really good to track the macros, track the calories and what type of food we're eating. I use an app called Chronometer, just C-R-O-N-O-M-meter. And it's pretty well done. And the idea is, to me, it's not necessarily to say, oh, you're, you know, the mainstream would be, okay, you're that weight, you're that age, you're male, you work out that much, so you should eat 2,400 calories and that's your target. I like to have an approach where we track things, but at the same time, we rely more on self-assessment and feeling, because this really, the number of calories you should need, for example, it really depends also on your absorption, right? There are some people like Eli Martyr, he eats not a lot, but he gets a lot of energy, and I guess because he absorbs really well, while some people don't. So it's a good indication, but then the reason why we do it is like, okay, if you take a week and you can see you've been adding 500 calories, you haven't done it because you had to, you do it as a test, and then you see, oh, okay, I've gained weight this week, I felt more energized or less. And then you can go with, you can be a detective almost using the data, but using also how you feel and the results you see to see, yeah, what works for you. And so, tracking these work on having data to use when you see how you feel and what works for you. Mm-hmm. It works well also, actually it works well in itself to eat properly, because entering what you eat makes that you need to be aware of what's in your food. So if you go to a restaurant and there's a sauce and you don't know what's in it, you can't enter it in the tracking, right? Mm-hmm. So the more simple you eat, the more you're gonna be able to track it properly. And if you don't eat simple, you're going to know, at least if you do it properly and you ask what's in the sauce, what's in this and that.
Yeah.
And the last thing is, makes you also aware of things like, a lot of people, they eat much more fat than they think, because when they have a salad, they think that they think it's mainly carbs, and they have 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and then the whole salad becomes like 50% fat in calories, you know? Yeah. It's like a surprise, yeah.
Yeah, I once went through this journey of not eating any fat, and I wasn't losing anyway, because I lost over 200 pounds at a time, but I did gain about 70, 80 pounds back because I had a setback. And plus I was, you know, it was just crazy time. But I noticed that I do better when I add fat. My body feels better. And I find that is important, you know, to pay attention to what my body is saying, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to that.
Exactly. So if I can rebound on that, the idea is not to be like, oh, Doug Graham said 80-10-10, so you should be 10% fat. It'd mm-hmm. be like, well, one of the standards is 80-10-10. So maybe you try 80-10-10 and you know you're doing it mm-hmm. properly, actually, you don't think you're doing it, and then you're like, okay, and then you try higher fat, and I feel much better. Mm-hmm. Then in that case, you know, you're like, okay, what works for me is that different split, and that's great. But at least you've done it properly. While some people, they'll be like, yeah, I do 80-10-10, and then they track and they're 30% fat, you know, so they haven't tried 80-10-10, so they can't say they feel good or bad on 80-10-10.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. So do you take any supplements, meaning vitamins? And I know some people do sea moss, and I consider that a food, you know, But do you take any supplements?
Yeah, it's like in the spectrum from a food picked from a tree to something totally chemical, there's obviously a spectrum, right? So again, depends on what you call supplements. We here in Bali, there's an island where they produce a lot of sea moss. So we have someone we know that collects the sea moss, dries it in the sun, and then we put it in water. And I put that in my salad. So to me, it doesn't feel like a supplement. It's just slightly less raw in the way that it's been sitting in the sun and then rehydrated in a way.
Yes.
But yeah, I do take a fair bit of sea moss, usually twice a week. I'll add like quite a bit to my salad and really like it. Feels really good. I do the same with a wakame, so some seaweed like this, I can add. Then in terms of things like powders, I'm okay with some things that I use when they're powdered, but I prefer not to isolate the compound. So for example, I have marine phytoplankton usually in the morning, and it has a lot of nutrients, including B12, omega-3s, EPA. Mm-hmm. So that's a powder. And sometimes in my smoothies, I get ashwagandha, maca, tongatali. Sometimes I put cacao powder. So there's some things like this that I have powdered. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I don't take any like B12. Or obviously, there's a lot of sun here, so I don't take vitamin D. I'm not against it. I've taken for some time in my transition. I'm not close to it, but to me, it feels better to take what I need from fresh food if possible. And then my second choice is powdered, like whole food powdered in some way.
Yes, that's important. The whole food and making sure there's no fillers. A lot of times they put fillers in these things and there's more, you know, rice and other things that they put in it to do a filler, to put in the product. Mm. So what does a typical day looks like when it comes to eating for you, Alex?
Yeah. One last thing on the supplement, because we're on the muscle building also. Yeah, I don't take protein powders. I don't take creatine, even though a lot of even raw vegans do that. But for now, it doesn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't take these either. A typical day, I wake up and maybe 2 hours later, often I like to make celery juice. If not, I like to have coconuts also, like more liquids in the beginning. And maybe then let's say that's 8 a.m. And then 10 a.m. I'll have a big papaya or watermelon. And then at 12 p.m. I'll have 3 dragon fruits. And then at 2 p.m. I'll have 4 mangoes or another big papaya. And then at 5 or 6, I'll have a big salad with mainly like lots of tomatoes, usually. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some avocado, sometimes some cucumber, sometimes some sea moss, sometimes some wakame, sometimes some lettuce. And I make a pesto with herbs and nuts. And dates also, sweeten a bit. And that's basically my salad. Mm-hmm. And that's a day of eating. Sometimes I do a smoothie, maybe every other day. So instead of the fruits, I'll put like bananas and blueberries and some of the powders I talked about, ashwagandha, maca, tongatali, cacao, in a smoothie and dates. Yeah. So that's basically how it looks like. Now, it can happen here if I'm social, if I go out with my partner. Sometimes we go to a restaurant and I would say, for example, yesterday we had a little celebration and went to a raw gourmet, you know. So, yeah, sometimes I like to have I'm lucky enough in Ubud, there's a like really good vegan restaurant and they can do raw gourmet. And sometimes I have some cooked food. Like when I was in Germany a month ago, I had maybe once a week I was having a more cooked, because my partner was cooking that and it felt good. Here, you know, I allow myself to have 10%. I say I'm 90% raw. That's my goal. But I end up being more like 95, at least 96. Like even yesterday, I went to that vegan restaurant. I thought, you know what? It's been a while. I haven't had cooked food. I'll have some. And I looked at the menu and I was like, yeah, actually, I don't. I don't really. So,
So it's in, I had someone on, they call it freedom food, you know, being free. I forgot his name. What is his name? He's here in Miami. But yeah, being free and not being in a box. You know, I'm, even though I use the term vegan, plant-based, raw, all these different things, it's just a matter of just eating and being free, you know, doing yourself, listening to your body. You know, nobody can, a lot of times, you know, some people, they call them the police. People say you don't supposed to do this, you don't do that or whatever. Mm. But there are some people that can't eat a certain way. They can't eat all raw, you know, and they have to eat some cooked foods to balance out their bodies. Or if they're gaining, they want to gain weight, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And that's what I love about being free and eating what your body wants, you know, not nothing crazy, just being in whatever you need and being, I'm working on being conscious when I'm eating. Mm-hmm. I do lose that part sometimes, be in the moment of not being conscious.
And, you know, I think this is really key because I obviously think it's good to have some intellect and use the mind there to know, okay, it seems to make sense, I should probably eat this way. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if we don't have the body on board, it's really hard. So that's what I do also with my clients and obviously with myself, is to really feel. So let's say if I'm at the restaurant and let's say my partner ordered a vegan pizza and I'm tempted by it, well, sometimes I really imagine the feeling, and sometimes I realize I don't really want it. Or sometimes I have a couple of bites even, but try to be really conscious while I do it, and mm-hmm. feel, oh, okay, that's the soul, that's quite dense. I've been missing that. It reminds me of this childhood memory, whatever. And then what sometimes happens, usually happens after couple of bites, I'm like, yeah, actually, I don't really want that. I don't really want that. But then it becomes an embodied experience where I really consult my body and not come from the mind and say, okay, I shouldn't. And I find that this in the medium and long term is a really good way to address addictions in general.
Yes. Wow. So speaking about, well, I guess you kind of answer the questions about like cravings, you know, you just, if you want it, you just go ahead. If not, or like you think about it first, being conscious, do I really want it? Is there other ways that a person can handle cravings? Because a lot of people do struggle with cravings. I sometimes want, you know, like salty, crunchy things. Is there any keys of handling cravings? Have you experienced that? Yeah. Do you have any keys or tips?
Yeah, there are keys. The first one is to be really compassionate with oneself, because if you think of someone, so just on the craving, I think we all have cravings. And when I talk about addiction, it's not to say like cooked food is bad, for example. It's just addiction is more the relationship with the substance than the substance itself. So some substances are more addictive, but it's mainly about the relationship. And so we know when we have an addictive pattern. Well, if you think of other addictions, let's say if someone wants to quit smoking, they usually pick that up, like, I don't know, maybe when they were 13 or 14, but not when they were 3-year-old or 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. With food, we've been used to either associate food with love, for my grandma at Christmas, always numbing our feeling with our parents giving us a cookie because we need to stop crying, from like such an early age that we need to be super kind with ourselves and compassionate, knowing that we're doing really hard work here, really deep work. And even like our ancestral line has that whole addictive pattern too. So yeah, just first recognizing that we're doing amazing and that this is hard work, and be compassionate, and it's okay. We're work in progress. We're human beings. So that's first key.
Yes.
The second key is, I mean, obviously, we want some willpower and discipline. I think it's helpful for many things. So it's to have that, but we want to assist that. And two ways we're going to assist that is with having a why power that helps the willpower. So if we have a strong why, then we can go back to that. So personally, I know I want to be fit. I want to be energized. So I can look at the vegan pizza and be, okay, is it worth it to have that temporary pleasure versus feeling a bit sluggish the rest of my day?
Mm-hmm.
And also then I have a business, I'm a coach. So it's like, okay, well then, you know, people won't be inspired as much by me or whatever is motivating me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can share with your relatives too, because that will help them support you too, which leads to the other part, which is the environment. So be compassionate, have some willpower, have your why power, and also craft an environment that's supportive. And the environment is going to be, of course, your kitchen. Don't have the peanut butter jar everywhere if you want to stop eating that.
Mm-hmm.
The people, and also your routines. So having supportive people and also having routines in place. So for example, for the gym, you know, if it's in your calendar that you do your workout 3 times a week, is going to help you to actually do it.
Yes. Wow. Thanks for those tips. we need it. You know, people are struggling, and especially after the holidays, and people should not beat themselves up and just get back. I always say, don't wait till Monday. Start with your next meal. Whatever you put in your mouth, that's what's important, you know. So, yes. So what makes Alex excited about the way you eat? What makes you excited about the way you eat?
A few things. I mean, health, obviously. I eat the way I eat because I want to be vibrant, I want to be energized. So that's one reason. The second is freedom, actually, because we talked about cravings. And it's interesting because a lot of people think, actually, because we have a more restricted way to eat, that there's a lot of freedom, which is true in the more shallow sense of freedom, in the way that then, let's say I have less choice.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, freedom is not really the freedom to follow our desires. It's more actually the opposite. It's the freedom to observe desires and not go with it if we feel it's not in resonance with our higher self. So in that way, to me, when I see people like, I want a cookie, I have a cookie, it doesn't feel like a lot of freedom. And when I feel, I want a cookie, and you know what, I'm just going to sit with it and not do it, I feel a lot of freedom.
Wow.
So that's the other thing.
That's good. I like that. That's good. Yeah. Wow.
Freedom.
Wow.
And wow. Thank you. I'll add one, which is ethics, because it allows me to, like, being vegan to me is about ethics, especially in a world of factory farming. Mm-hmm. And if I go even deeper, even like when you, I don't know, unroot a carrot, there is still like some annihilation of consciousness. Well, mm-hmm. The fruits to me is, it just feels like perfect symbiosis with nature, where it ripens, it's going to fall anyway. You don't like rip it off the tree. It's like, it's ripe for you to eat. And then you, if you want to spread the seed, like you can do that too. And yeah, it's just, it feels really like a symbiosis with nature. So whether it's just more purely from moral stance, also from more spiritual oneness stance, I feel like, ethical and in symbiosis.
Yes, and I agree. And also the animals, like the squirrels and the other, you know, animals that eat some of the mangoes and eat some of the papayas, because we growing papayas right now. There's a lot of papayas out there. So they get to eat and get to spread the seeds as well. So, yeah, it's like sometimes you got to try to hurry up and get it before they get it as well. But and like you said, they fall on the ground, you know. And it's plenty. It's a tree of plenty to feed the world. I mean, it's amazing to have a loaded tree of mangoes or bananas and, you know, different things and to share. And it's so much bounty in fruit. So, yeah, that is beautiful. So, yes.
My friend Josh X, he also says, like, you can see in the word fruit is for you to eat.
Okay. Yes, I like that. For you to eat. Wow. And fruit for you to eat. Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Josh. Josh, you said.
Josh X, I did a really cool podcast with him on my channel on YouTube, The Light Leaders.
Oh, I didn't know you on. I got to check you out and go subscribe to your channel on YouTube. So do you have any last remarks you would like to I don't like to say last, but do you have any remarks that you would like to share with us?
Okay, I'll go with what comes, which was when I'm thinking of my own intentions, and we talked about feeling, and I think it's because we're on a journey that focuses a lot on health, is to not lose sight of the power of the mind. Mm-hmm. So you talked about being conscious when we're eating. I think it's, you know, we want to treat our body as temple and give the best food and best water and breathe the fresh air. But also what's really important is the thoughts we have around it. So definitely doing the work on eating the right food and having the lifestyle and hitting the gym or doing the workouts that serve us is really important. Mm-hmm. But what is at least as important, if not more, is our approach to it and doing everything with consciousness and feeling, not just because we have to. So for me, it looks like meditating every day. It looks like treating the workouts and eating, if possible, as much as I can, as a mindfulness practice. Being gentle with myself, congratulating myself when I do something right that mm-hmm. I feel is aligned. Being grateful for the food, but grateful for everything. And yeah, to me, it's almost like before my physical health, it starts with mental health is even more important to me. So
yes,
let's not lose track of that as we focus on the right food and the right workouts.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. And thank you so much, Mr. Alex. I don't say it your name, I guess, because I can say it easily. But thank you so much for coming on our channel. We appreciate you and your time. Thank you for sharing your journey. And you guys, please go check him out on Instagram. His link is down in the description below. Follow him on Instagram. You're on TikTok?
No.
Yeah, TikTok is a lot. It's a lot of action on TikTok as well. But
you guys, I think it's too much action. I like the long format sometimes, and just sitting down like this and having a good conversation. I'll see. But yeah, and thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And for anyone, yeah, you can reach out. I'd love to have a chat with you. Just jump on a discovery call. And have a good chat.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you again. We appreciate you and your time. Thank you guys for watching. 1,000 roses to you. Love yourself first because you are worth it. Peace.